You're listening to Sales Chat, the latest sales and service insights by Salelytics.
Welcome back to another episode of Sales Chat, a bite-sized production bringing you the latest and greatest insights from sales subject matter experts here at Salelytics. I'm your host, Jeremy, and today we have Sales Chat first-timer Joshua Dunn on the podcast. Josh is not only a consumer brands expert here at Salelytics, but also a go-to corporate sales contact that certainly by now in his career has attended many conferences and has some wisdom to share on how to prep for those events. So with all that being said, how are you doing today, Josh?
I am great, and I appreciate you having me on the call here.
Most welcome. It's great to have you. So tell us a little bit about what you do here at Salelytics and how long you've been here.
Sure. So I actually started here in January of this year. So a little over 7 months now or so. And I was brought in to help build on the CPG program. And in general, my team is responsible for any new growth to Salelytics. So any new partnerships, any new clients that we bring in, that comes through my team.
Awesome. Really exciting work. Well, it's great to have you here at Salelytics, and thanks for joining me today. We're going to go ahead and talk about some sales and marketing things that are happening in our In the Know news segment. So first off, Celsius signs as official energy drink of MLS as U.S. soccer enthusiasm grows. Now, Josh, are you a soccer guy? I haven't gotten into it myself, but I have some friends overseas who watch it every year. Have you noticed anything? Are you like a sports guy?
I am a sports guy. I wish I could say I like European football as much. Yeah. I was never able to get into it, so I wish I could say that I did.
Yeah, well, it does seem to be gaining some popularity here in the States, so I guess we'll be keeping our eyes on that here as well. So Instacart has launched its largest ever back-to-school campaign. You've got this, parents. The six-week omnichannel campaign targets shoppers in the U.S. and Canada to promote the brand's hassle-free one-stop shopping experience. There's literally a screen where you can just tap Add to School Essentials to your delivery cart. I think this is pretty cool. So in our area, a lot of the apps for big brand retailers and things like that, they just have a button that says, you know, add to your school supply to the list, because they've preloaded all of the school supply lists from the local schools. So I don't have kids myself, but I think this is really great because it just kind of makes things easier for parents. What about you? Getting ready for back to school and all that?
We are. And actually, a fun fact, my very first job at 13 years old was working for a company that basically did this. It was called School Pack. And cool. I basically stood on an assembly line and just put an eraser, pencils, markers into a box and slid it down the line. And we packaged it up and shipped it off. So technology has come a long way since I got to stand on that assembly line.
It sure has. Really cool stuff out there happening with the back to school. I remember it used to be like, go to the store and buy all the things individually. And that's it was right. A whole adventure with me and my parents. So yeah, it's cool to see technology kind of making that easier for everybody. The next one here, really kind of funny, Lazy Boy and the first AI powered recliner. All right. So the furniture brand has created a prototype model called the Decliner. An artificial intelligence-powered recliner that generates a cancellation excuse via SMS by pulling its handle. Lazy Boy will make 3 decliners available via an online and social media contest. When I first saw this, I was like, all right, this seems a little silly, but I kind of love the novelty of this thing. Like, to be able to get an auto-generated excuse just by pulling the handle on your chair. You know, I'm getting into reclining position. I might as well have an excuse to cancel plans at the same time. Oh, that's pretty
cool. Yeah, I don't know. I think technology sometimes goes a little too far. Sometimes just the manual effort is what we need here. Sometimes people are just looking for a way to get out of a small task there. So, but right. I guess that's the world we're living in now. Everything's going that way.
Yeah, it's extremely goofy. I love stuff like this, but yeah, I really hope this isn't the WALL-E future that we're looking at. Campaign Group Action calls for end to child-friendly packaging on high sugar foods. They analyzed cereals and yogurts with packaging appealing to children and found almost half, about 47% of cereals, contain 1/3 of a 4 to 6-year-old's daily sugars recommendation. Now, I don't have kids, but at the risk of sounding like an old man yelling at the clouds, when I was a kid, I was raised on sugary cereals, right? Lucky Charms, Frosted Flakes, all the good stuff, and they all had cartoon mascots. I clearly remember, and back then in the 80s and 90s, it was even worse, because we had Ninja Turtles, we had Ghostbusters, right. We had Nintendo, and they had all their own cereals, which were all, you know, kid brands to begin with. So I guess the question is now, like, I guess, how do you market these products? They've been very child-centric with mascots and things to sell the products for years. My thought would be probably to appeal to this demographic, right? The ones who remember the cereal were like, you know what? Lucky Charms was pretty good. I could give that another shot.
Yeah, there's some basis there. I guess I am of the type, and we try and live a healthy life, and we try and give our kids the same, you know, afford them the same luxury of eating healthier foods. With that said, it doesn't stop with cereal. I mean, you got to think of the majority of marketing that's coming from fast food chains, from basically all companies, is driven to, when my kid drives by, do they recognize it? Do they ask for it? The McDonald's symbol is about the most recognizable symbol in the world. And there's reasons for that. There's coloring behind it. There's everything. All the logos and all the branding that comes out of these companies is really driven towards making sure that when you drive by, your kid knows and asks for those things, and they're always happy to eat it. Whether they like the food or not, they're going to be there and they're going to ask for it, because that's kind of just the way that it's driven home. So I like the fact that this is happening. I think it's smart to do. But with that said, you're not going to take away from the fact that kids like sugar, kids like some of those things. So I think that's more on the parent to make sure that they're providing correctly for their families.
Right. It's going to be a very huge marketing shift. And you make a good point that it crosses into fast food and candy and soft drinks and everything. So yeah, really interesting stuff happening out there in news and marketing. But let's get into today's topic. Let's talk about the prep work, or the pre-prep work, I guess. We're really early in the process. So how do you approach selecting which expos, conferences, or summits that you might attend? What do you find most valuable about these events?
Yeah, the most valuable is just definitely the diversity. We want to make sure that there's a lot of different companies that are there, and companies that we can see fitting into some of the models that we currently have. We have a very broad range of client partners right now and in many different industries. So we want to make sure that what we have to offer fits into what those clients are looking for. On top of that, you want to make sure that the right person or the decision maker is actually going to be on site as well. I've been to some expos where you show up and they will actually send random sales teams and people that can't make those decisions there. So for me, it's just most important to make sure that when I'm there and I'm speaking to somebody and introducing myself and our company, that the right decision maker is on site.
Absolutely. And when you're setting up for the pre-prep work and things like that, do you have goals in mind? Are they focused on network learning, business development, or something else entirely?
Yeah, so this was a big learning curve for me when I first started going to these shows. You kind of want to walk in, you have your sales pitch ready, you walk up to a customer without realizing that, or a prospect, I should say, not a customer, but you walk up to these prospects and you realize that they're actually there trying to sell their products. They don't want to be sold to. And that was just a kind of a big mind shift that I had to make there, was I don't need to sell to them. They're not there necessarily receptive to being sold to. What I need to do is just build a relationship, be relevant to them, let them understand that if they're ever looking for services, that my company is one that they can reach out to. So for me, it really is just a networking portion, getting in front of the right decision maker, introducing myself, making sure that they know that we're relevant in their space, and then letting them go, you know, without too much time taken off where they should have been selling themselves.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that approach. Having attended a lot of expos myself in the entertainment industry, it's all about making that networking. It's really not about selling whatever you're doing, like in my case, video production. It's more building the relationships, finding people that you genuinely connect with. So when those business opportunities do arise, well, they think, hey, you know, Jeremy's the guy to go to, or hey, I should really call Salelytics because I had met with Josh and he was a really great guy and we had a great conversation at the expo. I really think that is the way to go. So now with the actual prep, we've decided what expo we're going to go to. What does it look like when you're getting ready for the upcoming event? What steps do you take to ensure that you're all set?
Yeah, so it's important to understand, again, who's going to be at the show. A lot of times these shows will send out lists, or they'll have lists available of who's going to be attending. Title, role, responsibilities, those things are listed on there. So although I like to just walk up and, you know, introduce myself to different companies, you need to understand who's going to be there. And you have to be prepared that if they start asking you questions or somebody wants to know something, that you're actually prepared. Not just walking up, hi, I'm Josh, I'm with Salelytics. I just want to introduce myself. And they say, well, what do you do? How can you help me? You have to understand what their business may be looking for, who's their target demographic when they're out, you know, when they're selling to their customers. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of different kind of build up to some of those. So you'll really target, make sure that the right person's there and that you understand what they may be looking for. Although 90% of the time they won't ask the question, you do still have to be prepared for when they do. And I think that's important. So we'll make sure that we go through the lists. And then once we've gone through those lists, we do our homework on who's going to be there. That may be checking LinkedIn profiles, that may be looking on different things like Zoom info and trying to find out a little bit about their business. Or again, back to LinkedIn, it may be understanding how their roles have shifted over the years. So that, let's say you're talking to a C-level person with the company, how has their work role developed over the last couple of years? What have their responsibilities been? And that way you can kind of speak their language a little bit more because you understand where they've come from, how they've got to this point, and maybe what they're looking for as well.
Right. It's one thing to look at the event itself, because with a portfolio as large as Saleytics, like we could be attending many different types of expos and shows throughout the year. So aside from just doing that and saying, okay, we're going to focus our networking in on this specific area of our business, taking it that step further and saying, here's who's going to be here, here's how we can help them. So that's really great prep work. How do you determine your schedule and agenda for the event? Are there specific sessions, speakers, or activities that you prioritize over others?
That really depends on the show. I mean, I've gone to shows where there are leadership summits and there are really, you just want to go and learn from what they have to say, learn from different industries specifically. There's a lot of best practices that you can gain from other companies, other industries that are, you know, in your same field. So a lot of times it's not just walking up, trying to sell, trying to meet people, but also learning about the different industries as well. And a lot of times when you're sitting and listening to these speakers, you know, give their presentations, I can pick up a few things and say, you know what, I think I could help with that. I think our company can really support some of those concerns that they're having, but you don't get that without actually sitting down and listening. Yeah, so I just think really understanding who is going to be at which show is so important for that reason. You can't come across as somebody who's just walking in and hitting somebody with the used car salesman approach. You have to really understand the person. And if you're at a summit and there's going to be keynote speakers, Go and listen to them. I mean, some of the best contacts that I have are coming from listening to a keynote speaker, meeting with that person afterwards, and just kind of saying, hey, I really appreciate what you had to say. That really resonated with me. We have some similar programs that we're going through the same things. And sometimes that's the best way to start a relationship is like, hey, we've dealt with this as well. We're in the same field that you are right now. So maybe we can talk and see how we can help build for both of us.
Yeah, good organic business relationships.
That's right.
And sometimes even friendships come out of these events. What strategies do you use for effective networking at these events while we're on topic? So how do you approach connecting with the new people and building meaningful relationships like we were just talking about? In my opinion, that might be the most intimidating thing. So how do you stay authentic in those situations?
That is the hardest part. Being able to walk up to somebody, again, at most of these expos specifically, they're not there to be sold to. So walking up to them immediately and presenting yourself as a business, already they're going to take a step back or kind of be back against the wall a little bit. So just really making sure that they understand, I'm not here to sell anything to you. I like your business. I like what you guys are doing. We have partners that are in the same field that are very similar. I just wanted to introduce myself. I want to introduce our company. If you have questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I just wanted to get to know you, you know, and maybe we can talk in the future here and I can just learn a little bit more about your business. The majority of the time when you're talking to somebody, if you don't try and sell them right away, if you just have an open dialogue, open discussion, a lot of times they'll walk themselves into what their pain points are in their business. And you didn't have to ask. You didn't have to point those things out. It's just really important that they understand, hey, I know you're working here. I know you guys are selling. This isn't the time for me to walk up and hit you with the whole pitch here. But I do want you to know that if there are any pain points, we likely are dealing with those with other customers. And sometimes we may be able to help a little bit. So just keep us in mind if you're ever looking, if there's ever a BPO need for you, we're here. And once you take that approach, they can kind of let their hair down a little bit, I guess you could say, where they don't feel like they have to be on the ball right now. It's just an open discussion, open dialogue that you can have with them. And a lot of times that's the best way to just get an organic relationship started.
100% agree. A little bit of a vibe check, right? So there's
a
fine line between being pushy and salesy and being authentic and genuine and building relationships. So it's great to see that approach being taken because, yeah, you have to have that human element, that authenticity. It generally, if you're good at what you do and confident in what you're saying, people will come to you. Absolutely. Can you share a specific skill or something that you learned from a past expo, conference, or summit that had a significant impact on you and your career?
Just as I was just talking about, I'll reiterate the same thing. If you walk up and you don't want to learn about the person you're talking to, you don't want to understand their business, you have a generic sales pitch coming forward, it's never going to work. People will see right through that in an instant. So really, they have to understand that you're passionate about what you do. I know that our company can succeed. We have great partnerships right now, long-lasting partnerships. We have a lot to offer. So just making sure that you know and your confidence is there that what I'm selling or what I'm discussing with you, I am confident in telling you, but also understanding that I don't need to sell to you necessarily. Not everybody is looking right now for the service that we have. It's just building the relationship. You have to walk in. You have to just try and get that relationship going with them. Let them know that you're relevant in the space that they're in right now. And that's it. If you're too pushy, if you keep asking questions, if you don't know when to walk away, it's hard to come back from those things. Most of sales is just relationships. They have to be able to trust you and trust what you're saying. And if you walk up and just give a generic pitch, you haven't done your homework, you don't know anything about their business, they're never going to trust you. So that's the most important thing, and something that was quick to learn in my, you know, years of sales experience. If you try and give the generic pitch to every person, it's not going to work. You have to make sure that what you're telling them resonates with them specifically, that person, that company, not just a broad approach.
Totally agree. And there's something to be said for just being yourself at these events and having a little fun while you're there. Well, thanks, Josh. What a great episode for listeners attending their first expo or really any team debating how to work them into the strategy, especially in how to maximize the opportunities if they're already attending events today. Do you have any closing thoughts?
That's it. Just be yourself. If you're going to these shows, be yourself, do your homework, understand that everybody is trying to reach the same goal. All of us, all these businesses are at these shows for the same purpose. So don't be too pushy. When the time comes, just make sure you're knowledgeable in what you're talking about.
Good stuff. Thanks again for joining us today, Josh. To our listeners, conferences, shows, and expos can seem daunting at first, but with a little prep, any professional event can be a success. Plus, there's no better way to know if you're ready other than to do your best, gather the courage, and attend for yourself. Follow along as we share more industry trends, insight on our custom solutions, and even some career guidance. Find us on our social media channels or wherever you listen to your podcast. And until next time, thank you for tuning in to Sales Chat.